I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it. This is the Your Kick-Ass Life podcast, episode number 59. All links and resources you hear in this episode can be found by going to yourkickasslife.com/59.
This is the Your Kick-Ass Life podcast with Andrea Owen, a no BS guide to self-help and badassery. Because ladies, let's face it, life's too short for it to not kick ass. And here's your host, the girl who serves it up straight with a side of crazy, Andrea Owen.
Hey there, ass kickers. Welcome to another solo edition of the Your Kick-Ass Life podcast. Thank you so much for those of you that gave me feedback and told me that you liked hearing me all by myself get up on my soapbox and rant for a little while. My last episode actually turned out to be longer than I had anticipated, so what can I say? I guess I like to be a little bit verbose. I'm going to try to cut them down a little bit. I know that y'all are busy, but I wanted to tell you this quick story that is kind of funny. And Lord help me with parenting. So for those of you that don't know, I have two little rascals. My son is 7 and my daughter is 5. They're having birthdays this summer, so they'll be 8 and 6 very soon. My son's birthday, I'm recording this on Monday the 10th. So his birthday's tomorrow, the 11th. And he's very excited to be 8. And my daughter is, well, let's just say I had someone just like me. I had a little mini-me who is sassy and spunky. And, you know, I try to teach my kids these life lessons that I'm learning now as I'm an older person that I didn't exactly know or was taught when I was younger. And so one of those things is I tell my husband and I both, we apologize to our children when we screw up, and we talk to our kids about cleaning up their messes, not just cleaning up the messes that they make in the house, like an actual mess, but a mess in the form of if you hurt someone's feelings or you make a mistake and you can go and make amends, say you're sorry, or somehow make your wrongs right any way you can. And one of those things I teach them, plain and simple, is that everyone makes mistakes. And I don't want my kids to sort of put us on pedestals and think that we don't make mistakes and that we aren't just like real human beings. I think it can be kind of devastating for children to have something happen and suddenly realize that their parents are not superhuman. And so we wanted to instill that in them at a pretty young age. So anyway, my daughter knows very much, and I've talked to her, and that everyone makes mistakes. And, the other day, we're standing in the hallway, and she, I don't even remember what it was that I was wanting her to do. It was either take a bath or clean up her room or do something that I had asked her a couple of times already to do that she hadn't done. And she talked back to me, and she's a sass pants. She talks back. She's been rolling her eyes since she was probably 3 and a half. I mean, she had that down. And I know she got it for me. I'm not going to pretend that we don't have cable, so it's not like they watch shows where they're learning that. Like, I ain't going to lie. She learned that from her mama. So she sassed me, and I looked at her, and I said, "You don't talk to mommy like that." And she looks at me square in the face, and she goes, "Well, mommy, everybody makes mistakes." And she turns around and walks back in her room. So she's using it against me. And it was one of those moments where I was so stunned that I had no response. I'm rarely speechless. And it was like my mouth opened and I was like, ah. and it was so one of those moments where I needed a good comeback. Like, no, this is not one of those moments where you're allowed to use that. But I was so stunned at how smart she is and smart mouthed she is. And it was that moment. There's like a funny meme about it, like that moment where you're mad at your children for being exactly like you. And I'm just like, oh my God, good Lord, help me. So yeah, she's only 5 and I am in for it. Can't wait for 13. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to what you're probably wondering, like, okay, what the hell do perfectionism and a shit sandwich have in common? That's the title of what I'm going to talk to you about. Well, as most of you know who followed me for any length of time, perfectionism is one of the things that I help, you know, most if not all of the women that come to me for private coaching or my classes. It is an epidemic, I think, in our culture today. And also, I teach it because I have a lot to learn in it. It's one of those things that, you know, a lot of my behaviors have fallen by the wayside as I've gone through this journey, my own personal development journey, and perfectionism and control have hung on for dear life. They're trying not to go anywhere. So it's just one of those things that I still take one day at a time. I don't pretend to have it all nailed down perfectly, but I definitely have come a long ass way from where I was before, and it really is one day at a time. So I talk about it a lot. That's what we're talking about today. And in the last 5 years of Your Kick-Ass Life, I've received many emails from women asking me various questions. It's kind of the proverbial, like, what is wrong with me? This is what I'm doing, and this is how I'm feeling, and I feel like something's wrong with me. And the short answer of it is nothing is wrong with you. Okay. But these women that email me and ask me these questions, they just want to stop feeling like they're feeling and start to feel better, start to feel happier, and just really more comfortable all around, because we all want that. And I'm going to read to you an email that I got from one of my readers, and I'm going to break this down and talk about it in this particular podcast. So this reader says, I just feel mostly like I am uncomfortable in my skin. It's not so much a weight thing, but that I'll never live up to my expectations. The fear is that if I allow myself to do what I think is, quote unquote, fall short, in my mind, it's a slippery slope to mediocrity, a road that does not interest me. But because of this, everything I do has to be at the maximum. Maximum workload, maximum relaxation, etc. There is no in-between. I'm not able to find inner peace in balance because I either feel like a slacker or my expectations are simply too high. In parentheses, she says, yes, I struggle with perfectionism. With all of this, I'm not even sure where to begin. So there's a couple of things I see here in this email. And the first, which is so incredibly common, is what I think in clinical terms they call dichotomous thinking. This is also known as black or white thinking. I remember my therapist was the first person to call out dichotomous thinking in my own life. So what it looks like is exactly what she was saying in that email. Either you live up to these expectations that you've created, P.S., that your inner critic has created, or on the other side of it, or you're just mediocre. Either you're amazing at everything you do, or you are a total failure. There's no in between. And I think, kind of like as a side note, I think the reason that this happens is because we really like to label things kind of like good or bad. We like to kind of make them so, because the middle gray area is hard to be in. It's uncertain, and it's uncomfortable, and it's the, I'm doing the best I can, I still mess it up, and I can't do everything perfectly, and I'm okay with that space. Like, that's really what the middle ground looks like. And it might say okay when I say it, but to actually be in that place is hard. It's hard for many women. So instead of practicing being there, they try as hard as they possibly can to going to the ends of the earth to be everything and to look perfect and to do all the things. And when they can't, which none of us can, but when they can't, they claim failure. They claim mediocrity. They claim complete loserville. So here's the lesson in all of this. There's a couple. What you need to get comfortable knowing is that there's excellence, which is all fine and dandy and actually good for us. I'm a big fan of excellence. and there is perfectionism, which feels like being served a shit sandwich at your favorite restaurant. They are two very different things. And so for you listening, where does the line from excellence over into perfectionism get blurry for you? So here's an example. Say you're at work and you can do all the projects given to you and do your absolute best, all the while knowing you're human and you might make mistakes. And when you do make mistakes, instead of completely berating yourself and thinking that you're a failure and then trying even harder next time, you don't do that. You made a mistake, you know you're human, and you practice self-compassion. That's excellence. And that's doing a shit ton of work on yourself to get there. Because trust me, girl, I know that's hard. Perfectionism would be doing all of your work projects plus volunteering for extra work that you really don't have time to do plus doing other people's jobs because you feel like, you know, it's like one of those, if it can't be done perfectly, then I might as well just do it myself. And then beating yourself up when you make mistakes, when you fall short, which you inevitably will.
Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal and that they won't already have, can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then a Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So it's helpful for you to spend some time thinking about that and getting really honest with yourself. Only you know when you fall over into that territory. And P.S., can we all agree that nobody likes a shit sandwich ever? So, you know, given that example that I just gave you, it might be helpful for you to look at different areas of your life. Look at your marriage or your relationship. Look at parenting. Look at your job. Look at your friendships. And even like for those of you that are super into personal development, which I know a lot of you are, look at that too. I think it's an area that none of us really look at because if you're listening to this podcast and you know, maybe you listen to all my episodes or you listen to other people's podcasts and you read personal development books, are you making up that your personal development journey has to look a certain way? And are you beating yourself up when you have setbacks, et cetera? So are you, in other words, are you putting perfectionism on yourself in your own personal development journey? And if you are, good grief, you're not alone. I see it all the time. And so anyway, just look at all these different kind of puzzle pieces in your life and see where the line is between excellence, doing your best, and perfectionism. Where does it cross over into that other space? What might also be helpful is to think about perfectionism and know if you're in it by asking yourself this very important question. And actually, this is part of the Daring Way program, which I learned from the research of Brené Brown. So striving for excellence, get your pens out, because this is a big one. This is like, when I heard this, I was like, oh my God. Okay. Striving for excellence is inwardly focused. In other words, you're doing it to make you feel good and to honor your values. Perfectionism is outwardly focused and looks like you thinking, what will they think? Perfectionism is all about creating a persona of yourself that meets the standards of what you've made up other people want of you. Or not just other people, but what organizations want of you. And by organizations, I mean like perhaps it's your religion or your community that you grew up in or your family or what your culture wants of you. So I'm going to repeat that last part. Perfectionism is all about creating a persona of yourself that meets the standards of what you've made up other people want of you. Not particularly yourself, but other people. So striving for excellence is inwardly focused. Perfectionism is outwardly focused. In other words, and these are words that are way less profesh, but when I was typing up these notes, this is what came out. Perfectionism is the asshole that makes us feel like we need the approval of everyone and everything else besides us. Put that on a bumper sticker. I also sense that the woman that wrote this email, that she asked this question, I sense that she is uncomfortable in her own skin because she isn't living authentically. What I mean specifically by that is that when your thinking is that way, you know, when you are creating too high expectations of yourself and you inevitably fall short and then feel like shit about it, what's happening is that you're letting your inner critic call the shots and run the show. Your inner critic is creating these standards of excellence for you and which you will never be able to attain. So you will always fall short and you will always feel uncomfortable and like shit. And the thing is that when that happens, it's like, when we fall short and we're like, this sucks and I feel crappy about it or I feel ashamed about it or humiliated or embarrassed or whatever, instead of trying to heal from that and finding resolution in that and finding how to behave a different way, what we do is we try harder the next time. Oh, I'll just do it better next time. Oh, I will prove to them that I can do it. Oh my God, raise your hand if you've done that. My hand is raised over here because I've done that a million times. Like, oh, I will show you. And the cycle starts all over again. It just gets worse and worse and worse. So here's a quick exercise. Oh, and by the way, I am doing a free call on the inner critic. Y'all know that I talk about this all the time. I'm doing a free 1-hour training call, my 3 most effective ways to manage your inner critic. It is on August the 20th. It's on a Thursday, August the 20th. If you go to yourkickasslife.com/free call, all one word, free call, all one word, you can sign up for free. It'll be amazing. Come there live. And yes, of course, there's a recording. So I have a exercise for you. This is a different one. This will not be on the free call, but this is just one that I like to do. This is like quick and dirty exercise. So you get out a piece of paper and you draw a line through the middle. And this is a to-do list because I know y'all listen and love to-do lists, right? All right. So I want you to make a to-do list or a goal list that your gremlin is in charge of. This is her list. This is the gremlin list of all the things that you need to be doing, maybe just like for the rest of the year. What do you need to be achieving? What do you need to be organizing? What do you need to be getting together and fixing and solving and all of those things? In a perfect world, what would it look like? And then look at that list and check in with how you feel. And then on the other side of the paper, maybe like on the right side of the paper, make a list that is attainable. Maybe this list is from your wise, most highest self. If you can tap into her, if you've ever done any exercises on that. Maybe it's the wise you 20 years from now. So this is the list that actually makes you feel good. One that shows excellence, but not perfectionism. And compare them and see how different they look and see how different they make you feel. The truth is, if you don't know your values and have a realistic view of what they look like in everyday life, because the word values gets thrown around a lot in personal development. If you have a copy of my book, 52 Ways to Live a Kick-Ass Life, I believe it's chapter 4, where I talk exactly about values and how to figure out what yours are. But, you know, a lot of people say, I'll give an example of the value of spirituality. So it's easy to say you have a value around spirituality, but are you very clear about what that means to you on a practical daily basis? Because if you don't, then you don't actually have a North Star leading you. So if you don't know what your values are at all, you don't have a North Star leading you. And if you know what your values are, but you can just name them and you don't actually know what that looks like on an everyday level, like what are the behaviors around that? What are the thoughts around that? You're kind of lost. So in other words, you won't really know what's important about who you are and how you live your life. Okay, and if you just like shit a brick, and if you're totally freaked out, A, that was not my intention, but B, I'm not going to just leave you hanging like, bye, podcast episode over. No, that would be a jerk move. All right, B, here's a clue. If you're in the least bit interested in personal development, then I can bet your bottom dollar that courage is one of your values. So you have one. Because without courage, you can't honor any other value or live authentically. You can't. And it's a real bitch to try to live your life from a place of courage if your inner critic is sitting in the driver's seat of your life while perfectionism is in the passenger seat, which I have a feeling a lot of you listening, that's what's going on. Those two are driving along in charge of the radio, singing Taylor Swift songs while you're in the back seat going, what the fuck is going on? What that looks like in real life, instead of a weird Taylor Swift metaphor, is that you feel like crap a lot. You try harder and harder to be better. You try harder and harder to get more done. You try harder to look amazing and to avoid criticism and judgment, because that's really what we're all trying to do, right? And you guys, the reason I know all of this is because I used to live there. And that was my zip code. And sometimes things get crazy and I fall backwards into that rabbit hole and have to climb back out. This happens to most women, if not all of us. So the good news is you're in really great company. And so again, I would love to invite you to my free call, yourkickasslife.com/free call. And I highly encourage you to do the exercise that I told you about in this particular podcast. I would love for you to share this podcast episode. If you would rather share it in blog post format, it's all on the same page, yourkickasslife.com/59. And I hope to see you on the free call. Tell all your friends about it. I give away my 3 most effective ways to manage your inner critic. These are big, big exercises. 2 of them are actually from the Daring Way program that I take my private one-on-one clients through. And it is absolutely my favorite exercise in figuring out your inner critic and actually practicing shame resilience. So it is a big doozy, girls. yourkickasslife.com/free call, all one word. I hope to see you there. And until next time, I will see you out in cyberspace. Bye-bye.
everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof. Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talk to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unstick it.